Aside from the obvious, the job security and glamour, writing fiction can sometimes be about conjuring up the satisfying endings real life so stubbornly refuses to provide. Satisfying is not the same as happy, of course. It's great when the hero defeats his or her nemesis, or the mismatched couple lives happily ever after. But endings that are too neat and tidy can feel cloying and saccharine. For many of us, E.M. Forster's famous question, "How do I know what I think until I see what I say?" neatly encapsulates the process of discovery, and often self-discovery, that is an inescapable part of the writing life. In the opening line of my latest novel, a romantic comedy called Three's a Crowd, I pose the question, what would happen if an estranged father and son fell in love with the same woman? It's a high-concept idea that kept nagging at me until I had no choice but to spend a year turning it into an 84,000-word novel. I like to think I'm not a particularly stupid person, but at no point in the process of writing or editing did it occur to me that I was doing anything other than creating an entertaining yarn. It was only after finding a home for the book, at Simon & Schuster, that I was talking to someone, a psychotherapist as it happens, and came to realise the extent to which the novel's storyline has multiple echoes in my own life. To say that I was estranged from my father implies that I'd known him well at some point, and that one of us broke off contact, but that's not the case. In reality, I never knew him at all. My parents divorced while I was in nappies. He was no more than a face in tattered black and white photos my mother kept tucked away in a drawer. He contacted me only once, a card on my 21st birthday, with his address in case I felt like getting in touch. I didn't, mainly out of loyalty to the mother who had raised me with no support from the man she'd married. Three's a Crowd isn't about my mum or my dad, but at its heart is the chasm in a relationship between a father and son, lost to each other thanks to a skeleton in the family closet. They're ultimately reconciled, something my psychotherapist friend would doubtless see as deep-seated wish fulfillment on my part. Although oblivious to the workings of my subconscious while writing the book, now, with the objectivity that comes with the passage of time, I see elements of my own life story on every page. With the benefit of hindsight, looking back over all my years of writing, I now see countless examples of how my own experiences bleed onto the page, whether of a crime novel, a rom-com, the script of an ITV psychological thriller, or a BBC murder mystery. Of course, the reader or viewer needn't care about or be aware of the inner workings of an author's mind, but in tackling the question, why I write, it's instructive to any writer to delve into those hidden forces that provide the impetus for any piece of work.